And we're here now with Shelley Hegan from Upper Planned Parenthood of
Upper Hudson Planned Parenthood.
With you have centers in Hudson, Albany, and Troy.
Correct.
And you've got all sorts of things going on now. The new center in Hudson, a new center in Troy, and a new capital campaign.
Yep.
And a big, busy legislative session coming up in January, too, I guess.
It is not boring.
So I guess tell us about the capital campaign first, which is several million dollars you're trying to raise, and it's been going so well, you've upped your total that you're shooting for now?
Yeah, so we started our campaign. We started thinking about doing a campaign in the middle of 2016, and we wanted to relocate Albany or relocate Hudson, relocate Troy, and we had to do some renovations in Albany as well. And we also wanted to secure a patient access fund so that we didn't need to worry about whether or not the whims of politics would affect whether or not our patients can continue to get on uninterrupted care. So we started thinking about that in 2016. After the election in 2016, it became even more obvious that there were going to be risks to our patients' ability to access care. So that's when we sort of launched the campaign in earnest. So we are raising $7.2 million. About $2.5 million of that is for the building renovations, and the rest of it is to establish this patient access fund. So initially, it was just going to be about $3 million in the patient access fund, which roughly represents how much service we provide in a year to Medicaid patients. So should we get cut out of Medicaid, we would still be able to see people uninterrupted. The patient experience would be no different. And then we would work behind the scenes with New York State to hopefully fix whatever Washington undid. After the Kavanaugh appointment, we started to get a little bit more concerned about abortion access across the country. Here in New York, we don't feel particularly threatened about the ability to continue to provide safe and legal abortion, but we do anticipate that should safe and legal abortion no longer be guaranteed constitutionally, that people are going to have to travel across state lines in order to access the services they need in a safe way. So we decided to increase the patient access fund a little bit so that we could build some capacity to be able to continue to provide abortion should Roe be overturned or severely limited.
So there might be people from Ohio, say, coming across the border in western New York.
Correct.
If things go as they could, I guess.
Correct. And because Albany is near an airport that's also a hub airport, it will be a place that not even just contiguous states, but like other states that have cheap flights on Southwest can easily get to Albany. And so it would be a convenient location for people to be able to get in and out of. There's a lot we have to worry about in terms of across state line care. I worry about what's coming out of Ohio, where they're talking about criminalizing women who access abortion. So I think we need to raise the funds to make sure that we can support those women in many ways. So, yes, we need to be able to continue to provide abortions. That's a given. But are they going to need assistance with transportation? Are they going to need legal assistance when they go back home? We really don't know what the future holds there. And so this fund is also a way for us to kind of build a war chest so that we're prepared for whatever comes our way so that we can be there for the people who need us most.
So what is the current situation? I mean, I guess your organization, Planned Parenthood, is like daily someone is saying we want to cut funding someone across the country. Has any funding been cut on any of your services or any of your funding nationally, locally, statewide in the last 2 years, or is it still
here in New York State? We haven't seen any serious cuts, but Planned Parenthoods across the country have been thrown out of their state Medicaid programs. And so for us, so here in Columbia County, and it's very similar in the rest of our service area, 70% of our patients are at or below the poverty level. And a good 65-70% of our patients have Medicaid. That's pretty typical across the country. Is we tend to see a patient population that is not economically fragile, shall we say. That's partly because of the age demographic. We see people primarily between the ages of 19 and 29. That's our largest demographic. And people in that age group are frequently struggling financially. They're, you know, young and kind of getting on their feet. So across the country, when those folks have been thrown out of their Medicaid programs, it's really devastating in terms of access to care. And it's really difficult to run those health centers in places where they have no access to state grant money either. And fundraising becomes difficult in those communities because frequently the communities that have that kind of limitation also have a population that may not be as sympathetic to Planned Parenthood. That's one of the things that's been amazing with this campaign is, so we only cover four counties. We serve Albany, Rensselaer, Columbia, and Greene County. We don't have a health center here in Greene County, but Greene County Family Planning is here on Main Street in Catskill, and they're fantastic. They do a great job, and we partner with them and support them in many ways. When I say support them, we support them by taking their referrals and doing care that they can't provide. So it's only four little counties, and yet the people in these communities are so passionate about our services that we're only 1 year into the campaign, and we've already been able to raise a little over $2 million from individual donors. So when people were like, you're going to raise $7 million, that's a lot of money in this community because there's not a lot of people. You know what I mean? We're not huge. This group of people just stepped forward for us over and over and over again, and it's coming from all corners of our service area. So not everybody has that. You know, here in New York, we do. So I feel like it's our obligation to not only raise the money and build that fund, but be prepared to help serve women from places that aren't quite so fortunate.
And we're speaking with Shelley Hegan from the Upper Hudson Planned Parenthood Group. Why don't you give out the website address if people are interested in making a donation?
Sure.
How do they do that?
If they're interested in donating to the campaign, you can go to uhpp.org. You can also reach out directly at info@uhpp.org if you have a question or want to talk about a different way you can donate. And people are donating in many different ways. Some folks are coming to the campaign and, you know, writing a check because that's what they want to do. Some people are planning their gifts over 5 years because it's a five-year campaign. So they're sort of timing what they feel like they can do. And some people are including us in their wills and in their bequests to say, you know, I can't maybe afford to pay this right now, but I want to know that I'm providing support for women in our community even after I'm gone. So it's been a wide array of the ways people are supporting us.
And I guess a lot of the reason to give or at least high profile reason to give are these two new centers that you're opening. Where are they?
So the Hudson Health Center is opening right on Warren Street. Actually, it's on Columbia Street, but where Warren and Columbia come together for those who know the community. I like to say that we picked that location because it's an easy walking distance to Vassalo's, so I can get chocolate whenever I go there. That's important. and it's going to have expanded access for behavioral health care. We're going to be implementing some counseling programs there along with screenings and support for people looking for help with substance abuse and other sort of social indicators of care, you know, things that make you healthy besides just health care. We're going to be expanding our transgender services there. We're going to be doing like high-end GYN care so that people who have if you have a bad pap smear and it's an indicator for cervical cancer, there are some treatments that you can have immediately, and we can provide those there. So the cancer screening and treatment program will be a little bit more robust in the new health center. We're going to have a teen space there, so we'll be able to offer a teen clinic, and young people can drop in after school, get information, maybe make an appointment, or maybe just ask questions. We'll have educators on site. And then we're building a community space so that other organizations that maybe don't have enough space for meetings, board meetings, those kind of things, that we can share that space with them. So it will be a nice little community room. So that's what's happening here in Hudson. And then in Troy, we are still on the hunt for a new location. We're looking at all different kinds of things, but hoping to stay right in the city of Troy. And that's really a commitment of ours, because being in downtown Troy has always been where we are. We've been there for 40-some-odd years, and we're not going to go anywhere. That space will also provide a little bit more expansion. And, again, the behavioral health care and transgender care is growing rapidly, and we'll be doing all of that there. That will also provide surgical abortion there, and we will provide the cancer treatments and screenings. So it's pretty exciting. We already do a teen program in Troy. We already have a teen clinic. The space is really tiny. You know, teens are super flexible, and it's really nice of them to continue to come, even though we haven't given them the most gracious space that's worthy of them, but we will in our new location.
So you're just looking for the right sized,
the right deal. Yeah. And our intention is to have a 25-year lease wherever we go. So we're not flitting in and out of places. So that's what we're looking for, is a place where we can stay. We're going to stay here for a good long time.
And in Hudson, it's the building, just from the outside, looks much larger than the space you're in now.
Oh, it is much larger. And it's shared space. Again, we've found it really wonderful to have all of our health centers located in spaces where there are other things as well. It really helps for patient confidentiality and for people feeling comfortable coming and going and not feeling, like, targeted. The Hudson Health Center right now, which is technically in Greenport, it does not provide that kind of anonymity for people coming and going. And the protesters there have been pretty difficult.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you going to have protesters at the new location? It seems a little more difficult location-wise.
We never invite them. But they do tend to follow us.
It's not up to you.
It's definitely not up to us. But they do follow us. And they'll have to stay out of our private parking lot, which will be great in terms of keeping our patients safe. Also, the downtown community of Hudson is a lot less amenable to them. So I don't think they'll find as much easy comfort there as they do currently. There's a crisis pregnancy center right next to our health center where women are frequently given false information about their pregnancies. They're not given complete medically accurate information. And they are certainly a safe harbor for anti-choice activists. So they're not going to have that in the new space.
So it's a busy time. You're fundraising for this large capital campaign. You've got a Hudson Health Center that's going to open in January, right?
We're hoping to be open in January, yes.
And then you're looking for a new place in Troy to open a larger space there, too. Yep. And then in January, also, the legislative session starts, and there's much talk about the Reproductive Health Bill. What is the bill called?
Yeah, it's called the Reproductive Health Act, and it was wonderful over the weekend. They announced that Andrea Stewart-Cousins will be the leader of the Senate. And this is a bill she has been passionate about for years. The Reproductive Health Act essentially codifies Roe v. Wade into New York state law. New York passed a safe and legal abortion in 1970, and Roe v. Wade was 1973. Some of that law was... It's very outdated. So things are in the penal code that should be in the medical code. There's a lot of language in it that isn't the same as Roe v. Wade. So abortion is protected to protect the life of the mother, but not the health of the mother. It's a lot of very sort of picky legal issues. We have passed that in the New York State Assembly for, I want to say, 10 years. I could be exaggerating, but a very long time. And every single year, the Senate wouldn't even bring it to a vote. We definitely...
And that's because the Republicans, even though the Democrats were in the majority, the Republicans controlled the Senate, at least
the
in
IDC
later
held
years.
It back. And nobody wanted anybody to have to take an anti-choice vote. So they were protecting their own, you know, to put the Reproductive Health Act out there and have people... force people to vote against it would be a stake in the ground saying that these were anti-choice candidates. It was easy for them to say they weren't because they never had to vote on it. Stuart Cousins will get that to a vote. And we definitely have the majority in the Senate and have every reason.
There were eight seats flipped? Or?
8 seats. There's no reason to think it won't pass. The governor is very enthusiastic about this bill, so we know there's going to be no issue in having him sign on to it. So we're really excited that in January we may be able to finally protect abortion access in New York the way that New Yorkers think it is. You know, it isn't, this isn't anything, it doesn't dramatically expand anything, it doesn't really change anything. It really brings New York state law to where most New Yorkers think it is anyway.
And you're not worried about the assembly? Sometimes when people know things aren't going to pass in the other chamber, they're willing to vote one way, but when it comes to a real vote, so there's no worry about the assembly actually not passing it?
I mean, I think that's one of the things we're all going to be watching, a lot of legislation this coming year for that very reason. But because this doesn't have a budget component, it isn't quite in that category. The people who have voted for it in the past in the assembly are incredibly supportive of access to abortion rights, and there's no cost to New York State to codify Roe v. Wade into law. So this is
one
of
those. You're changing the details. You're not changing the numbers.
Correct. So I think this is. I think this will be an easier one. I think that piece of what has been kind of protected in New York State process around how much money we spend and what different bills are going to cost and that sort of thing. That's going to be the real. That's going to be the real sight to see this coming session.
And the governor, are you worried about him signing it? He's, I guess, you got a democratically controlled assembly. You got now a democratically controlled Senate. The governor has been, he says one thing about a lot of issues and then does another thing later on. Or are you worried at all about his support?
I think that Governor Cuomo is one of the most pro-choice governors around. And I think that anything he can do to solidify and support access to choice and to abortion rights in New York, he will do it. I don't think us lobbying or working on it or any other interest group makes any difference, because in him, who he is a very pro-choice governor. So this area, this particular issue, I have no doubt about.
And if people are listening at home are interested in this issue, are you urging them to call their state assembly person, their state senator, and tell them what they think about this issue?
I would say absolutely. I think it's always important for it is the cornerstone of what the process is all about, is making sure that your representatives know that they represent you. And this issue and any issue, make sure that whoever you voted for is there and listening to you, I think is really important. And also, if you follow us on Facebook or Instagram, we push out alerts when certain things are coming
votes
up for
coming
a vote,
or
when it's
committee.
Really important to make sure you call. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are there other legislative issues that you're concerned about this January?
I want to see the Comprehensive Contraceptive Care Act pass, which guarantees access to contraception for all people, regardless of their ability to pay, regardless of what is the right method for them, which what that means in not political speak is birth control pills should not have a copay, regardless of your insurance plan. You should be able to have a long-acting reversible contraception if you want it, which is an IUD or an implant. Those are very expensive on the upfront, but they last up to 10 years, depending upon the method. You should be able to have a vasectomy if you want to have one. All of those things are really important for people to control their own fertility. And insurance has, as the ACA gets eroded or attempted to be eroded, those things are not guaranteed for people. So I think that's important. I think the sex ed bill is really important coming up. We have no statewide agreement on what we think our education system should provide for students, and there is no requirement in New York State that students receive sex ed. And we know that education is, you know, information is power, and not giving kids access to information about drugs and alcohol does not keep them from drinking, not giving people good information about driving drunk or smoking, all of those things, the more information we give people, the better choices they can make. And for some reason, culturally, we think if we give people information about sex, they're going to make dumber choices about sex. I think that's crazy. And I have a lot of confidence in young people. So the sex ed bill is another one I really want to see passed.
Do local schools now do some sex education? Or, I mean, you're saying it's up to each district.
Depending. I know Greene County Family Planning does some in-school education. I don't know their program ins and outs. They'd be great to get on your show. They're just up the street. And then in Columbia County, we have a grant from New York State to do sex ed in a couple of the schools there. In Albany, we are in the Albany City School only. So all the suburban schools don't have any requirement. I don't know if they're doing it or not. And in Rensselaer County, we are in the city of Troy and the city of Rensselaer in the Lansingburg schools. But that wasn't always the case. And Eastern Rensselaer County, the more rural schools, don't have a comprehensive sex ed program. Across the state, it is very spotty. It really depends upon the school board and what individual parents get involved with and how much pressure they put on the school. But sex ed is really important for kids because it isn't just about sex. It isn't just about contraception and use a condom and, you know, like all the things you think it is. It's about healthy relationships. It's about consent. It's about what intimate partner violence looks like and feels like. And teenagers are affected by that. We don't necessarily think about it. With that kind of information in people's
battered
hands,
wives people talk about, but they don't talk about battered teenagers. And probably the statistics are similar, I would guess.
Violence follows relationships.
Right.
And, you know, people don't grow up one day to be an abuser. You know, it's a pattern of behavior. And it's important for people to know how to make really good choices about their lives, not just their sex lives, but their lives and who they welcome into their life. So the comprehensive sex ed is important in so many ways, and I really want to see that sex ed bill pass.
Any other issues in front of the legislature in Albany or locally? Are there other issues going on in local communities?
There are a ton of issues coming up in Albany. Just so many things that we've tried to pass for so many years that we're really excited to pass. Things around maternal mortality and doing real investigations into why maternal mortality rates are what they are in New York State and why they are so disparate between white women and black women in New York State. That research has got to be funded. I think that's real important. And then I'm a person involved in a lot of other things. I think it's crazy that Hoosick Falls still doesn't have clean drinking water guaranteed. I think it's nuts that we're not putting more effort into environmental protection here in the Hudson Valley because the Hudson River is such a gorgeous and important resource. I love talking with Dee Dee Barrett about farming bills and making sure that we're really supporting farmers in New York because that's really our future.
Were you happy with the, the congressional election? Planned Parenthood seemed to be talked about a lot between Mr. Delgado and Mr. Faso. Were you happy with the outcome there?
I was very relieved with the outcome. I'll tell you, I worked many times. I sat in Congressman Faso's office and talked to him about some of the important issues facing healthcare in our community. And every time he told me he was supportive and would be there, and every time it came for a vote, he wasn't supportive and he wasn't there. So I feel like if you're going to lie to your constituents, it's really time to go. And so I'm hopeful that soon-to-be Congressman Delgado will really take the issues that affect people in our community seriously.
Are you more concerned about what goes on in D.C. now or what goes on in Albany?
I wish that I could prioritize. They're both wickedly important to us and our movement.
And I guess if you're just joining us, we're talking to Shelley Hegan from Upper Hudson Planned Parenthood. And you guys got a large capital campaign. How much money do you still have to raise?
We have about $3 million that we're still going to raise.
And why don't you give out that website address again?
Sure. It's uhpp.org.
All right. Anything else you want to mention before you go?
On December 7th and 8th is Rally in the Valley in Hudson. This will be our second year doing Rally in the Valley. And
what's that for people that don't know?
That is fabulous group of volunteers decided that they wanted to raise the profile of Planned Parenthood and bring people together to talk about issues that affect them. So last year, we did a series of workshops over a weekend, along with a art show where amazing artists from all over the place sent in pieces. We had an auction for those pieces, and we raised a significant amount of money. This year, The National is performing on December 7th at Hudson Hall. I think that show's pretty much sold out, so don't get too excited by hearing that. And then on that, so that's Friday night, December 7th. And then on December 8th is a whole day of workshops around activism. There's a session on clergy for choice. There's a session on raising our voices and all of the interconnected issues that affect reproductive health. There's also a stitching workshop. There's a workshop on self-awareness by Wise Bodies. There's a whole lot of different things. And then we're having a lunchtime session where we're going to have lunch, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the work Planned Parenthood is doing, and then have sort of an open question and answer conversation with the community about Planned Parenthood in our community. So it should be really fun. All of the workshops are free.
And is that also at the Opera House? Or
all of it is going to be at Hudson Hall, yeah.
And that's December 7th is the national performance, and then December 8th, the Saturday, is all the workshops.
Right. And then if you don't feel like workshops, but you just want to have a good time and party with a bunch of pro-choice folks, there's going to be a dance party at Back Bar that night.
The Back Bar, later on. And is there a website for Rally in the Valley, or should you go?
You can Google Rally in the Valley. There's also a link to it on our website at uhpp.org.
All right. Anything else you want to mention while you're here?
No, I feel like I've taken up too much of your time.
Well, thank you for telling us about the new health center that's opening soon in Hudson, the new health center that you hope to open soon in Troy,
yeah,
and the capital campaign you've got going on, and all these legislative goals that hopefully, once the legislature gets rolling in Albany in January, we'll see some votes passed and some bills signed and some progress in Albany this
year.
Fingers
crossed. Fingers
we'll
crossed.
All right. Thank you for joining us, Shelley Hegan from Upper Hudson Planned Parenthood. Give the website one more time.
UHPP.org.